So you've been hearing about the Homegrown Servants Fund. That concept started several months ago when we were so excited to hear how God was leading Tim and Robin to serve full-time as missionaries to Nepal early next year, as well as Grant Fong doing a one-year internship with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at UOP. And there are others who are thinking about ministry in different capacities. So we're really going to turn the time over and really appreciate Tim and Robin being with us.
Speak in this one or that one? Okay. We'll use both. Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us. It's always a pleasure to come and just share about our hearts and what God is. You can't hear me. Hello? Okay. Uncle Ed, can you hear me? Well, once again, thanks for having us. It's always just a blessing to be here and to share more about our hearts and what God's been doing in our lives. Excuse me. And thanks for taking some time out of your service just to hear about our plans to go to Nepal. For those who don't know me, my name's Robin. I actually grew up in going to CCC, and then this is my husband, Tim. we live up in Portland, Oregon, and so are just really grateful that we can spend this weekend down here in Sacramento. We're excited to share a little bit about our plans to go to Nepal. If you want to hit the next slide. You can hit a couple more. We have some animation. So for those who know a little bit about us, we've done some mission work out in Kenya, and I've also been to Nepal. But right now, what we're gearing up towards is a move to Nepal in March of 2017 to be full-time missionaries there for our first term is 3 years. And so we'll just be sharing a little bit more about that. Sort of about Nepal and our hearts to go to Nepal, as well as the organization that we're partnering with called Tiny Hands International. Just ways for you guys to be a part of this journey with us.
Hi. So a little bit about Nepal, if you don't know about it. It is a country in South Asia. It's actually sandwiched between India and China. You can kind of see the map right there. The population is a little bit over 25 million, and it's about the size of Montana. Nepal is famous for the home of Mount Everest, if you've heard of that. And then the actual demographics of Nepal, 80% Hindu, about 9% Buddhist, and only 1.5% Christian. So that's a relatively new Christian church, but growing quickly. And something about Nepal, it's actually, there's about 100 different ethnic and caste groups. And it's very diverse.
Mm-hmm. And so why Nepal? Some of you may know that, I actually went to Nepal back in 2011, and that was my first time going to a developing country. And I was actually studying abroad in Nepal. And studying public health. And so I was really gripped by the realities of what poverty in a developing country was like, and seeing that for myself was, it really shook me. And I think at the same time I saw, being in a completely Hindu country, I just saw lost people all around me. And God really used that time in Nepal to plant the seed in my heart for the people there. And since then has only grown my heart for the country. And so it's amazing because, back in 2011, that was 5 years ago. And since then, God has continued to grow my heart for this country in this weird way. I mean, not many people are called to like a specific people group. And I didn't really know what to make of that either. Like, God would bring people into my life during college who were Nepali. Like, I had a family that I was tutoring, and they were all Nepali, and I went to visit their family in Nepal, and, and in Portland, I'm working with Nepali Bhutanese refugees, and it was just like God was continuing to affirm this call that he had placed on my heart, and yet I didn't really know what to make of it. And I think initially I had this idea that, you know, I would somehow go back to the country and use my skills and training in public health to empower the people there. And I never thought that I would go back to be a missionary. And over the years, God has just grown my heart in ways that are just amazing. But I think in learning and in seeking to live out the first commandment, to love God, the great commandment, to love God with all of your heart, and just compelled me more and more to want to live out the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. And so it was just learning more and more about God and who he is grew my heart for the people of Nepal in ways that I can't even explain. And so if you want to hit a couple more, we can just get all of the bullet points on. So I mentioned that in 2011, I went to Nepal to study abroad. I actually went back in 2013, and I think some of you know some of that story, but I went to go there with the intention of being there for 2 years to volunteer with the Peace Corps. And at that time, Tim and I had just started dating, and so I went to Nepal for not quite 2 years, came back early, and that's where we got married. And we didn't start out on the same page in terms of our heart for missions or to live abroad. And in fact, we were volunteering out in Kenya, and that's when I heard about this organization called Tiny Hands International through a friend. And they are a Christian organization, and they also not only try to meet the spiritual needs of what's going on in the country, but they also try to meet the physical needs. So a lot of the poverty, you'll hear about human trafficking, as well as the orphaned and abandoned children out in Nepal. And so that was an organization that, you know, God really actually brought in front of us. They sort of approached us, and we sort of approached them, and we had this opportunity laid before us to consider to go and be long-term missionaries there. And at the time, we weren't on the same page, and so I'll let Tim share a little bit about his heart throughout this whole journey as well.
Yeah, so we went and visited Nepal back in this last January, and it was about that time where I was kind of like, I was really confused. I was like, how does Robin love Nepal so much? How does someone love a country so much? I didn't get it myself. So we went to Nepal for 2 weeks. We really got to see what life was like there. And I think the story you may be thinking is that I fell in love with Nepal, but in actuality, I fell more and more in love with Jesus. It was in Nepal that God gave me 5 lessons. It was the craziest thing. It was every other day God gave me a lesson. So he gave me a day of grace to really reflect. But the lessons were to die to myself. I think I knew what it meant to die to myself in marriage. But what does it mean to die to myself in all aspects of life? The next lesson was to crush my own idol of self-importance. Rather than building up the name of Tim Pham, what does it look like to build up the name of Jesus Christ? The third lesson was to actually live fearlessly, because I think the comforts of the world are attractive, and it's easy here in the U.S. And so what does it look like to live fearlessly? Another lesson was actually to figure out what God made me to do. What is it that God wired me? How did God wire me? What are the things that God wants me to do on this earth? And there was one more. What was it? So to fix my eyes on Jesus. So all these lessons are really pointing me back to Jesus. So what does it look like to fix my eyes on Christ and not on things of this world? And so those lessons really impacted me, and that's really why this whole journey has been incredible for my own journey with Jesus. And I'm really, really, really motivated and excited to see what God does in Nepal.
And it's amazing, too, just how God has, I think, unified Tim and I in our marriage, too. I feel like as we've been pursuing the Lord and seeking to be on mission, he's brought unity in our marriage as well, and has certainly taught us a lot about dying to ourselves and just allowing and trusting him to move in our own hearts. So it's been quite a journey, and it's a miracle that we're here now, you know, both on the same page and wanting to move to Nepal and walk and take the step of obedience as well. So you can go ahead and go to the next slide. Is there one before that by any chance? Yeah, okay, so, and we'll just talk a little bit about Tiny Hands and what they do. So we're partnering with Tiny Hands. They have two main, I guess, pillars, so to speak. They mainly work to prevent human trafficking in Nepal. I don't know if you guys know about human trafficking, but it's actually something that happens here in the States, in Portland in particular. It's one of the hot spots in the country. And this also happens all around the world. And what makes it particularly in South Asia, women and children are vulnerable because they live in states of poverty where they're desperate and, you know, they're almost forced to take on these invitations to go find work in India. What a lot of people don't know in that situation is that they're being trafficked and they most likely won't return to the village, or they're actually going to become sex slaves in India. So a lot of the work that Tiny Hands does is to combat that, to both intercept girls at the border, and in fact, last week they intercepted over 30 girls, and to also do a lot of education, prosecution of the victims, the actual traffickers. And they also collect a lot of data, so they're trying to figure out how do we best tailor our interventions to meet the needs of these villages as well. And then another pillar is to care for the orphaned and street children in Nepal. And I think coupled with that poverty, there comes a lot of orphaned children and abandoned children. And Tiny Hands has over a dozen children's homes where they take in these children. It's a Christian home, and so they learn about the gospel and they grow up in Christian families. And it's, you know, you can read more about Tiny Hands, but the stories of these kids are really compelling, just to see God's hand in their lives and the way in which their lives are really turned around. I mean, through this ministry and through how God has just used Tiny Hands and just cared for the orphaned. So those are the two main ways in which Tiny Hands works in the country. And this is all obviously to spread the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. I will say it's a little tricky in Nepal. We technically can't be missionaries, so we're undercover missionaries, and that's why a lot of our work is linked with some of these more practical programs. It's all an effort to build relationships with people. In fact, we'll be working with some of the local village churches and these church networks in Nepal. But being that it's a largely Hindu country, we just have to take some extra precautions. And so that's part of why there are these different programs. But we also feel that, you know, while we want to address some of these spiritual needs in the country, we can't ignore the physical needs either. And so, we can share more too. So specifically the work that I'll be doing in Nepal is working in this village development program. And because poverty is such a, puts people at risk, what I'll be doing is working with some local churches as well as the nationals that work with Tiny Hands to identify villages where we can identify income generating solutions, really work to increase their agriculture and their yield, and, you know, address some of the basic health needs. So looking at water, sanitation, and hygiene, and really using this as an opportunity to be out in these rural villages that where people may not have even heard of the name of Jesus, and to build relationships with these people. So we anticipate working with these villages for a number of years, and to continue working with them as long as they're accepting of us as well. And there are quite a few villages and areas in Nepal that have never heard of Jesus or the gospel. And so this is a unique opportunity where we're able to reach out to some of these rural villages and make those initial contacts.
Yeah, it's big in Matthew 28, talks about making disciples of all nations, right? So for me, there's actually multiple opportunities for me to work with Tiny Hands. One is working in the children's homes. So there's over a dozen children's homes in Bangladesh and Nepal that Tiny Hands has. And so I have a big heart for the youth, and developing a youth ministry would be an amazing opportunity for me. Another opportunity is to actually help with the construction of children's homes. I work in construction management now, and so I can take those skills over and build more children's homes. The third opportunity, another example, is it's called a church support consultant. This is the position that I applied for. It's if the person who would do this position would go into the Christian Church of Nepal, build relationships with the pastors in the areas that Tiny Hands works, learn about how the health of the Christian church is, and really equip these pastors to help lead their own congregations. So if that looks like getting more Bibles translated and distributed, getting good quality books translated and distributed, that's my heart. I want to see God's church grow, and I want to see disciples be made in Nepal. And if there's any way for us to be a part of that, of God's work, that would just be an amazing opportunity. So next slide kind of talks about the urgency. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, yeah. So if no one's been to Nepal, I encourage you to just read more about it. It's a very interesting country. I mean, aside from, you know, being 80% Hindu and 9% Buddhist, the poverty there is just unbelievable. And, you know, in today's world, there's over 36 million slaves. That's more than the history of the world. And half of those slaves are in South Asia. So Nepal, India, Bangladesh. And that's a primary reason why Tiny Hands focuses most of their work there, is because of these injustices that are going on right now. And so, I mean, we feel that urgency to go and to try to move the lever and prevent more girls from being trafficked, and to not only save them from that terrible injustice, but to share the gospel with them and to build relationships with them so that they come to know who Jesus is and are saved from, they have salvation in and of itself. From Nepal and Bangladesh alone, 30,000 women and children are trafficked into India, and that's for the sex slave industry, and with the average age of being 14 years old. Some of these statistics are just, they're in your face, but then to actually think about them, it's hard to not feel that urgency.
These are, 14 years old. These are daughters, these are grandchildren, these are sisters. And so, we talked about the street children, and a lot of them don't actually live to be over around 20 years old because they don't have good nutrition, shelter. And so the children's homes, that's what they're there for. They're there to give these children an opportunity that otherwise they wouldn't have. We just want to, a big verse that comes to mind, or that we are driven by, is that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37.
And I'll just touch on that too. Like when we got to visit, I think in the past when I had visited Nepal, it was always to do some sort of public health work. And so I was in these rural villages and, you know, just building relationships with people in the village. But when we got to visit in January, we, you know, were with Tiny Hands staff and also with a lot of other missionaries that were in Nepal at that time. And, you know, we went to different Nepali churches, and it's just amazing, like, I think being in a country where, you know, proselytization is not really, it's illegal, evangelizing is illegal, and yet seeing these Christian churches and being a part of that and hearing that, like, people are ready, like, especially after the 2015 earthquake where the temples that where they worshipped their Hindu gods fell. I mean, these people are ready and they're craving for something real. And so I think just to echo, you know, Matthew 9, like, these, they're ready, and we want to just be there and either empower Nepalese to share the gospel or to share it with as many people as we can as well. So,
and what's beautiful in that verse also, Jesus follows up and by saying that he will be with us till the end of the age. So it's not going to be easy going overseas and living in another country, but knowing that God promises that his presence will be with us every step of the way is comforting, as well as the support of everybody here just by prayer, or it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I'll just also say, I mean, a lot of people ask us, like, why Nepal? Why would you move there and give up everything you have here? You have good jobs and you guys need to settle and have kids. But I think, you know, when we think about the God that we serve and Jesus, who came off of his throne in heaven, he had all the glory, like the comfort, the riches, he just had everything, and came down and lived with us here on earth to die for our sins. Like, in a small way, like, we feel like leaving our home here in the States and going to Nepal is gonna be an example to just mirror God's image and his heart for his people while we're there too. And I would also say, I mean, the joy that we get in stepping in obedience and walking faithfully and, I mean, like, clinging to God through this whole season it's like priceless. Like, it's totally worth it. And I think thinking about, you know, just like when we're in heaven one day, and like what we have here is just gonna pale in comparison, and then to walk in obedience and just know that there's so much joy that comes alongside of depending on him and trusting him with what happens is far greater than some of the comforts that we have here.
So the move, this is our call to action. We're called to go and be missionaries. We're joining the battle against human trafficking, and we want to help to get orphaned and abandoned children off of the street and into children's homes. We're going to serve the least of these, as said in Matthew 25. These are the hungry, these are the thirsty, these are the lost, these are the strangers. These are the naked, these are the prisoners, these are the sick. We're going to serve the least of these. And Jesus says that as you love them, you love me. So that's why we're going. The targeted move date, again, March 2017. It's right around the corner. We're going to be in Kathmandu, based in Kathmandu, for 3 years as our first term. And we'll reassess as we get closer to the end of those 3 years. And right now, we're currently raising funds because we have startup costs, and we have monthly living expenses.
And just to elaborate a little bit more on sort of like what we'll be doing in Kathmandu. So we'll be moving. I mean, our targeted move date is March, and we'll actually be moving over there. There is a group of expat staff already there, and so we'll be working with them as well as with a whole group of Nepali staff that also work for Tiny Hands to carry out a lot of these different programs that we're working on. We'll be based in Kathmandu, but we'll likely have a lot of travel to some of these rural villages where we're working. And again, you know, some of the startup costs include things like our one-way tickets, you know, buying mopeds. We have to learn how to ride mopeds in monsoon season, and you know, learning the language. So we'll be, right when we hit the ground, we'll be in this intensive Nepali language course for 6 months, and then have a tutor for the rest of the time we're there. But we really feel that, you know, language is key, obviously, to building relationships, and especially in working in some of these rural areas. So, yeah, do you want to add anything else to that?
You could talk about maybe the homegrown fund and.
I don't know too much about that, but I'll let Pastor Lewis talk about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, ways you can also support us is just keeping in touch with us. So we're planning on sending out newsletters as well as keeping updated on our blog. And what we hope to do through our blog is to really share what God is doing in Nepal through not only our lives, but what's going on in the ground, and to share that back with you all here in the States, and to share pictures and updates on how you guys can be praying for us. I think prayer is huge. You know, this is new to us, and this is also a scary step in obedience to trust the Lord with everything that's going on. And so prayer, especially in the next 6 months as we're preparing and continuing to just seek His will, would be much appreciated. And also, if we could just know about ways we can be praying for this congregation as well. We want to stay in touch and be attuned to what's going on here in Sacramento. And then to consider and maybe pray about giving monthly to the work that we're doing in Nepal. I mean, this is really an invitation for you all to join the work that we're doing and to, you know, not only prevent human trafficking and care for the orphaned, but to be a part of God's mission and work and advancing His kingdom in South Asia. We have some contact information here, so there's some information about our blog. Again, because we have to be really careful about our presence in the country, it's password protected, but we have our password up here. It's FOMS in Nepal. And then our email address as well. And we'd be really happy to share more and to answer any questions.
Yeah, thank you so much just for having us and inviting us and just showing your support for us, because this is a big, big move, and we appreciate all the love and support.
Stay up here. Okay, I'm going to ask all the current and former consistory members to join with me up here as we pray for Tim and Robin. So all the current and past consistory members, if you could join me up here, please. And let's have your microphone. It's okay. While the consistory members are coming up, let me just mention again the privilege of supporting Tim and Robin and others from this congregation that God has raised up to do some kind of ministry. In a vocational way is a unique privilege. And I hope if you haven't learned by now that eventually we realize and we experience the fact that while missionaries and people in ministry are raising support, sometimes, you know, other Christians think it's just kind of a one-way blessing, that we are somehow blessing them with our prayers and our giving. But I hope that we grow in understanding that God has it very much be a two-way kind of blessing. Yes, they need our support and prayers and giving, but we are so blessed ourselves by being partners with them in what God is doing. And just hearing Tim and Robin share today, I hope our hearts are touched by what God is doing, and to see how God is blessing our church family by raising up this young couple to serve Him overseas. So this is a live microphone. I'm going to ask if any of our consistory members want to lead us in prayer, then I'll close. Do we have a volunteer from our consistory? Any brothers, sisters feel like leading in prayer? Okay.
So we'll start out and pass it back to you. So.
Yep.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are just so blessed to have Tim and Robin here today to share what you've placed on their heart, the passion that they have to help in the Tiny Hands organization and to help the people of Nepal, for the mothers and daughters and children who need you and who need help in preventing the trafficking that's going on. Lord, we just want to raise them up and to bless them with our support, our love, and our prayers. We also want to remind ourselves that you are in control and that we trust you, and we put our faith in you for our lives and for guiding us, and that we pray that we do your will as we continue here on earth. We just also want to be supportive of Robin and Tim and just raise them up, bless them, guide them, protect them throughout the mission for their lives. And we're just so grateful, again, for them coming and sharing what's on their heart. In Jesus' name.
Anybody else? Okay, let's pray. Our Father God, how we are so thankful for the privilege of being partners in your work and for raising up Tim and Robin to serve in Nepal this coming year. Father God, thank you for the blessing of being a part of what you're doing in and through their lives. And for their sharing today that reminds all of us that ultimately it's not a focus on any particular ministry or project or even people in need, but ultimately it's our focus on you, the great God of the universe, the God who, as they shared, sacrificed so much for each and every one of us. And even as their ministry addresses human trafficking and sex slaves, Father, just remind all of us that each of us spiritually were very much slaves to sin, to living for ourselves, not having any idea why we even existed here on this earth, slaves to our own sin. But Father, you brought deliverance and salvation through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And because of his love, because of his incredible sacrifice for us, we have whole new lives. And we can make choices during that new life in Christ. And Tim and Robin have made some very important choices in following your leading in their lives, to follow your lordship in their lives. And so, Father, thank you for the privilege our church family has to stand with them, not only in prayer, but in giving. And, Father, I pray that you'll continue to meet their needs, encourage them in every possible way. And so, Father, we give you all the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.